Good evening. I'm your host, Aaron Ripmaster. Welcome to the Man Cave, where joining me tonight to record Diz Dad's podcast are Eric Anderson.
Hey, folks.
Don Donfris.
How's everybody doing?
Tim Hicks.
Hey, howdy, hey.
And Ryan Treichler.
Hello.
Now, tonight, we're going to be revisiting one of our favorite topic areas. We'll be talking blue sky, dreaming about the future for Disney parks. This time, we're going to focus on roller coasters in United States theme parks in particular. But before we get into that discussion, I want to take a moment to remind you that the Diz Dads podcast is sponsored by Fantastic Memories Travel and its Mousemaster Travel Group. The Mousemaster Travel Group focuses on Disney destination vacations, and Mousemaster agents would love to take care of the stressful parts of vacation planning so you can focus on the fun. Check them out at mousemastertravel.com. All right, gentlemen, blue sky, we love doing these because anything is on the table. We don't really care whether it's feasible. It's not part of the discussion. What would we like to see? And to get us rolling, I'm going to turn to Don. And, you know, one of the fun things about this particular show is I've got a veteran panel here. All of you have been, you know, participating in these shows for a while, so you kind of know how these run. And Don, I'm going to let you get us rolling with your first blue sky roller coaster idea.
My first blue, spit it out then.
Spoken like a true veteran.
Get tongue tied already. First shot of the night.
The experience shows.
Yes, yes. It would be a Star Wars theme. Whoa, there's a shack. And it would be having like a battle using holograms. So as you're going through, it'd be mostly a dark ride. But you'd be simulating kind of having a starfighter battle as you're going through, and you could be doing loops and corkscrews and using holograms simulate everything.
So it's interesting. So you're taking some of those dark ride kind of show elements, but applying them in a high speed roller coaster attraction. I like that. That's taking us in a new direction, and that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Would you do the whole thing inside, or would you do it kind of like Mine Train, where some of the holograms are in tunnels and the rest are outside?
No, I think for this particular thing, I think it would work best inside, because, you know, you're simulating space. I'm thinking of a space battle. Now, of course, you can take that another direction and use one of the
outdoor
types, outdoor seams, and go in another direction with it that way, where you would go outside, and you could have, you know, like one of the forest scenes where they're, you know, doing a battle or chase or battle scene in one of the forest, something like that. You know, that could work as well.
Yeah. The advantage of being against the blackness of space is that you have less to, you know, compete with the holograms, and you don't have to worry about people's eyes adjusting to the light, no light. Right.
Exactly.
That's one of the challenges I think that Imagineers have had to deal with at times, is you can come up with these really great ideas of going, you know, from dark into light, but you have to remember that people are going to be blind briefly when you do that.
Yeah. And if you're like me, you wear like transition glasses, they don't adjust real fast sometimes. So that's my concept.
All right.
I think that's more of a feasible, you know, not that it's not fun to do some of the crazy ones, but I think that's something that could certainly be a feasible thing.
Sure. Absolutely. All right. So Don's got us started with Star Wars and something that seems eminently buildable. Ryan, are you going to stick with the practical, or are you going to take us in the more imagination direction?
So for my first coaster, I'm going to leverage technology that's kind of just coming into the market and they're just starting to put in coasters. So I think that that Disney should do an Oculus Rift driven coaster where you sync virtual reality with the roller coaster. So I think they just started demoing this at some of the theme park conventions or the coaster conventions. And there's a lot of things that you could do with that. You could actually change out what the ride would be on a regular basis because you can swap out the background just by swapping out the digital images, and you don't have to necessarily do everything in the back. Of course, building that the virtual environment is not cheap, but it's something that gives you the ability to evolve the ride over time. And my first use of this was – you know, I think it, and this is kind of building off something that Nate presented in a show way back, but I think they could redo PhilharMagic and have kind of the Aladdin scenes and other things actually be tied to a real roller coaster. So while you're in the scene, you can actually look around and experience being inside the movie while you have the actual roller coaster giving you the sense of motion and speed that you get from being on the magic carpet or in some of the other scenes that you have. That was kind of my first thought. Obviously, with virtual reality, you could do pretty much any environment, but that was one use that I thought would be kind of family oriented and maybe a little bit should have a broad appeal potentially.
See, and that's kind of fun because it gives you an opportunity to take people into a cartoon environment that, you know, is much more difficult to do in terms of practical effects. And so combining the practical feel from a real roller coaster with the virtual reality piece kind of, you know, brings those two things together in a really interesting way.
Yeah, I think that it definitely adds a lot of possibilities to what the Imagineer could do, and it gives you a level of immersion that you can't even really do necessarily with physical effects, because you don't necessarily have the range of motion to look around at everything or adjust quickly.
True, true. All right. So how about you, Tim? What's your first, you know, blue sky roller coaster concept for us? Wait, before we do that, Ryan, I do need to ask. So you have this idea for this virtual reality coaster. Where would you put it?
So I was thinking, because I was thinking family, I was thinking that would be Magic Kingdom or Disneyland. So I was thinking one of the Magic Kingdom type parks for that.
Yeah, that makes sense. That would be good. All right. So Tim, how about you? What's your first blue sky concept for us?
Well, the first concept I had about this one is an adaptation of something that I've already seen. There's been a video going around recently where somebody has laid track going down and around a mountain, and basically there's a seat mounted on the rail, and they just get started going down the hill, and they just, you know, kind of glide all around through the hill, over bridges and between trees and stuff like that. And my comment when I first saw that was, well, sure, you know, dress me up like Obi-Wan Kenobi and make it look like a land speeder and I'll do it. And that kind of is the birth of what I'm thinking about here is, okay, Hollywood Studios, Star Wars, you've already, you know, got, and again, Hollywood Studios, because you wouldn't have the room to do this kind of thing in California. But, to have something basically like that set up as a land speeder, and of course you don't have the great big mountain to put it on, so it would have to be a powered coaster. But then, you know, you can, you know, stick that thing all through the glades, all through the trees, all through, you know, different parts of you know, the outskirts of Hollywood Studios, and basically have land speeder races, you know, between two, maybe even three tracks.
See, and there's something that you could adapt a technology that Disney is using now and has just recently kind of brought to the United States for the first time, and that's the trackless system that they're using at, you know, much lower speeds, obviously, at the new Luigi's ride at DCA, right? Because if you could do these land speeders using a trackless ride system, you could create that sort of chaotic feeling of a land speeder race and have it be coaster-like.
True. The only thing I'm thinking about is, you know, with a power track type of system, then you could, you know, achieve more of the speed. So it's kind of a one versus the other, which, you know, what do you give? What do you take?
Interesting. Okay. So the idea would be to use the track so that you could go higher speeds and you just kind of hide it underneath the oversized, you know, overwide speeder.
Right.
Okay. I get it. All right. So, Eric, I gave you a little time to warm up because we added you to the panel a little late. So what's your first Blue Sky Coaster concept for us?
Well, this is something I've been thinking about for a while. I'm frankly tired of Space Mountain. And I'd like to reimagine that one a little bit.
Okay.
And, you know, I could also do without a certain other ride that's over there right by Space Mountain. Because the Tomorrowland Speedway is really not a great attraction. So I'm thinking that we start out the coaster inside the building, but then we've got a whole track system set up outside. And this is going to be more along the lines of something like California Screamin'. I'm thinking maybe even inside the building, you have like a spiral design so that you're kind of getting up to speed inside. The technology involved, I'm thinking something like a railgun, but, toned down a little bit, but just a little bit because like there's nothing on the East Coast that matches up with California Screamin' in terms of just being a thrill ride. So, I like to have something that's a little more challenging, that's a little more, thrilling as a right. thrill ride.
Yeah, and that's the one thing that Magic Kingdom is kind of missing, right, is a truly aggressive thrill ride. I mean, it's got a nice variety of maybe slightly lower key thrills, but it really doesn't have that next level beyond, you know, Space Mountain, Big Thunder Mountain.
Exactly. And I think that, you know, having this sort of, you know, inside-outside design would be okay during the daytime. And I think there'll need to be some transition there as you go out into the daylight from inside, especially for a sort of space theme. And there could be some theming there to kind of account for the fact that you're going into the bright light. But I think it would really come into its own at nighttime because you'd essentially be like blasting off. I'm thinking, you know, if it's like a California Screamin' type ride, you'd be blasting off up into the you know, Florida night sky coming out of the building. And then, you know, you'd have a lot of twists and turns on the outside, probably a loop. I'm not sure how this is going to play with the sight lines.
That's all right. That's why it's Blue Sky.
I'm thinking it's going to be a pretty big coaster. If we need to, you know, take out Astro Orbiter 2, that would be fine. we need to run the tracks over there. That I'm suddenly realizing I don't like a lot of Tomorrowland. But,
do you think?
it's not as bad as Dinoland for me, but I think that we could undergo some fairly drastic changes, but get a real thrill ride over there in Magic Kingdom.
All right.
And well, there's a basis for that too, because the mission, Space Mountain Mission 2 in Paris, is that induction launch type coaster. The track is exactly, awful, yeah. And it beats you up, but that done right could be really cool.
Yeah, and I was talking about, you know, like a railgun, but having, you know, some sort of magnetic suspension on it, I think would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, I agree, and I love that. You know, that's a technology that Disney has embraced. I mean, it's the same launch system that's used at Rock and Roller Coaster in Paris. It's used at California Screamin'. And I think it's the smoothest of the sort of more modern powered launch systems, which is why I like it.
Yeah.
So my first concept, I think that the one thing that kind of jumps out at me when I think of Disney needing a roller coaster someplace is that Epcot has no roller coasters at all. And that's just wrong.
Oh, don't you dare steal my idea.
Well, now, I've gone back and forth because there are lots of different concepts that I think might work in Epcot. But Here's the one I'm going to run with, and it takes, you know, it's a little bit of a go with me here because you got to be creative to accept that it's a possibility. But what I want to do is combine two of my biggest complaints about Epcot, right? So the two complaints are, one, there's no roller coaster, and two, there's no good transportation system from the front to the back of the park, and it separates them into, you know, two very separate areas. So what I want is a coaster that also serves as transportation. I want a coaster that loads in the front area of the park, probably, you know, taking one of the interventions spaces, and loads there, but then lets off, like, at the opposite end, maybe at what is now the outpost, right? Because that doesn't really need to be there.
Yeah.
And so you end up with a coaster, and I'm not even sure what the theming is of this thing, right? My big concept really was more about placement and you know, big picture of how it would travel. But, you know, the idea would be that it would be up above, it would have a futuristic look, and would serve that dual function of being a thrilling roller coaster, but would also move guests from, you know, one end of the park to the other. And I just think that would be a lot of fun, and you'd get some great vistas, you know, great views as you were going over Epcot, especially, you know, special times of year when you've got the Flower and Garden Festival going, or even Food and Wine when there's, you know, interesting stuff set up and the Cranberry Bog and all that kind of thing. It would just be really a great view of the Epcot theme park and the monorail track and all that. And you'd get that literal bird's eye view. And maybe that's your theme, right? I mean, maybe you borrow from the fact that you've got some other animal elements on that sort of biology side of the park with living seas and living with the land and that kind of thing, and you use some sort of bird theme. I don't know, because I don't want to encroach on Animal Kingdom, but that's kind of the big picture idea.
Oh, I see. You had me thinking corkscrew around the monorail track. Hey, that works.
See, when you started talking about that, I started thinking you need to blend technology and you need to blend travel, and trying to think about Disney properties that do that. What about Around the World in 80 Days?
Oh,
and
there you could go.
Have like a Zeppelin or a balloon, you know, a fast balloon transportation theme, semi-steampunk that does that. Because that's a property they own.
Right.
She seems to blend both.
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. I could see that. So yeah. So that's my big picture one. I think it solves those two issues of Epcot. It unifies Epcot a little bit and gives Epcot a thrill ride that's missing. Everybody's gone through once. We'll see whether the creativity stays high as we go back around a second round. Maybe everybody's, you know, blown their best ideas, but maybe we've got more creativity if we dig a little deeper. So, Tim, we're going to go to you. What do you think? What do you come up with when you dig a little deeper?
Yeah, I'm saving my better ideas. That was the start. Well, okay, let's see. I think what I probably should have done is led off with something that kind of takes a tangent off of what Don was talking about earlier. Now, I have never been to a park that has a pipeline roller coaster. You know what I'm talking about? Where you actually have like four rails, and the car sits in the middle of the four rails, so that you can maneuver a lot more interesting ways.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So when you think about doing like a Star Wars fighter scene kind of thing, if you have a pipeline roller coaster, then you can have really sudden barrel rolls that don't require, you know, a big curve to prep for it or a big hill to prep for it. You just spin that sucker. And it's like, oh, you know, my ship's been hit, and now I'm spinning and heading towards, you know, the surface of the Death Star or what have you. And I'm thinking that something like that would be quite, you know, vomit inducing, and I would ride it over and over.
Woohoo!
Yes.
All right, so I like the concept, and I like, because I don't know that there are a lot of those out there right now. I mean, I know there are a few; they do exist, but they're pretty rare. So, where would you put it? And any kind of broad theme ideas?
Well, I would think it would have to be, again, Star Wars Land in Hollywood Studios.
Okay, so you are thinking
Star Wars. Just to take advantage of that, yeah. You know, I don't think it would really fit too much with, you know, Toy Story or, who knows what Disney's going to come up with next, you know, down the line. But, definitely not an Inside Out kind of thing. Well, I don't know. I suppose it could be. Inside Out goes through puberty, maybe. It's a thought.
There are five of those in the world. To just when you say there's not a lot of them, that I'm looking at the Wikipedia page about them. So okay. It really is a very rare thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know about them, but I know I've never been on one.
That would be really kind of cool because you could leverage the pipeline structure and actually enclose it like a tube and kind of put the images on that. Because the big issue with it was that the pipeline and the structure all around you obstructed the view, so you couldn't see very much. But you could like use that to your advantage and say, all right, let's just encase this and make it a big screen that we could broadcast on. So you could have an outdoor ride inside.
Oh, okay. So yeah. Interesting. So almost like being able to do, star tours in real life, right? In not just simulation, but.
Yeah. Complete 4D.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very interesting.
Very cool.
I know I'd do it.
Yeah.
All right. So Ryan, what's round two for you?
So my second one is a passion thing. This is something that I would love to see built, but I know it would never happen because the property it's associated with just did not do that well.
Okay.
One of the rides I really, really love is Manta. So I love the kind of lay down ride where you're, suspended over the ground. And I would love a Rocketeer version of Manta where you strap in.
Awesome.
I think that would be so great. I think you could put it, I think it could be any of the studios parks. There's probably other places that you could put it, but that's the theming of that just seems to really work with that type of flying coaster. And it's a property that I would love to see in the parks that's just not there. I think they could sell merch around it too. So,
see, that's a property that I just don't get the lack of effort to promote it because it's not that the movie did that poorly in theaters. I'm sure that it performed less well than they had hoped. But it's had staying power. People still rent, still rent it. They still buy it. It's got quite the cult following.
Yeah, and I think depending on how Studios turns out, if they have kind of still maintained that retro feel to parts of it, I think it fits in really well with that or at California Adventure and sort of the Hollywood that never was sort of area.
Well, sure. And Rocketeer's, he may not be Marvel, but he's legitimately a superhero.
Yep.
Yeah, you could also apply the same concept to Iron Man.
Well, sure. You could take the same coaster concept and do it as an Iron Man coaster.
But can you put Iron Man on the East Coast?
No. Not right now, but that's why we're blue skying
it. But this is blue sky.
Yeah, that's true. All right, fair enough. Yeah, but see, I think I would still lean to Rocketeer just because I can't get anything else Rocketeer.
Well, that's true. Now, on the other hand, you could do Iron Man on the West Coast that way.
That's true. Build one ride, theme it two different ways.
Oh, that's true. That would be interesting.
Blue Sky, do both, yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Two for you've one. I like that idea, right? That it's two for, it's kind of along the lines of Dinosaur Indiana Jones, right? For one on the ride vehicle and on the attraction style, but each gets its own theming.
Yeah. Right, or California Screamin', Rock and Roller Coaster, same idea.
Yeah.
I'll pitch it we can pitch it to Disney's board as a cost cutting effort with all the other cost cutting that's going on.
Oh, jeez.
You're not supposed to talk cost during Blue Sky. Don't do it.
Sorry.
You're killing me. All right. We got a couple of new different, ride kind of vehicle concepts and system concepts. Eric, what's round two for you?
I'm going with you over to Epcot again. And because there is no roller coaster over there, and I like having coasters in parks, And not just the ones that go under your margarita.
At those are good too.
Cava.
I don't have anything against that.
But actually, you know, something that's a little more fun. So I'm thinking, what we don't have at Walt Disney World is a suspended coaster. So
right.
I'm thinking that probably a reimagining of like the Matterhorn ride from Disneyland might go well with the Epcot theming. Put it over in the Germany, France area, Germany or France area, and essentially have a ski lift type arrangement. So again, you start out slow, but you're on a suspended coaster. You're going to have probably a pretty long spiral of a ride. So once you get up to the top, you're heading down most of the way, but with a lot of twists, turns, hopefully some good theming along the way. Probably not as thrilling as some of the other coasters in the park. It's probably about on a level with I guess like probably a little more than Mine Train. But something that it would still be accessible because, again, right. there aren't a lot of rides in that section of Epcot. They're rolling out the Frozen ride, obviously, but for folks who like something a little more thrilling, there's at least something in Epcot.
Yeah, right. Probably something around the Big Thunder, Space Mountain level thrill is what it sounds like you're talking.
Yeah, not the new Space Mountain, but yeah.
Not the Eric Anderson version.
Exactly.
All right. That works. That works. Let's see. So Don, why don't we give your second version?
My second version would be a Wreck-It Ralph. Kind of like a mouse style roller coaster in the Magic Kingdom. And it would be like you're going through the video game in Wreck-It Ralph. There'd be the drops would be more straight down.
Okay.
Kind of like you're jumping.
Yeah.
Like you're jumping in Wreck-It Ralph jumps in the movie. So you could be able to straight drops. So the technology would be that the car is kind of a almost have the technology of Tower of Terror, so it can go to do different things.
Okay. At so one you can point, take it on a track, but then it can ride off of the track and drop.
And drop, exactly. So you'd be just going through scenes or whatever from Wreck-It Ralph.
Interesting.
Kind of a fun little ride.
Yeah, I like that.
Not a big thrill one, but, you know, it'll get your heart pumping a little bit.
Well, and I like the moving in a completely different direction in terms of a different kind of ride vehicle and ride system, adapting what is mostly a vertical system that can do both vertical and horizontal to use it in a way that does both vertical and horizontal, but does mostly horizontal with the occasional, vertical drop or jump as it would take. And it allows you to do interesting things in compact spaces, right? Because you don't need the long, angled lift, because if you can drop it straight down, you can also lift it straight up,
exactly. Just
like you do going up the side of the building.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, so, I like that.
That's number two for me.
All right. Number two for me, I guess I'm been stuck as I was trying to do Blue Sky thinking on trying to figure out, places we could put coasters in environments that are different than environments that currently have them. So I keep coming back to some kind of, I would like to see a coaster that took advantage of Disney properties that have undersea environments. Because there are several now, right? I mean, we've got Finding Nemo stuff. We've got the older, Captain Nemo and that, submarine type thing. There's the Atlantis film. So you've got a lot of Disney properties that have these underwater elements. So I'd love to see a coaster that was themed to an underwater environment and used some of the elements, you know, technologically that Disney has used in other places, like the old, now I'm going to draw a blank on what they called them again, the Hydrolators, right? Where, I mean, it was genius, simple, but genius,
yeah.
Right? I mean, Hydrolators, which used two layers of glass with water in between them, so that as you were supposedly going underwater, they could bubble up the water in between two panes of glass, and it looked like you were going underwater when you were not. You were still on dry land.
You moved about 2 inches.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it just seems to me you could use that same kind of technology, but then take it to the next level with the kinds of things they can do with light and projection now to, you know, kind of meld both real effect and light effects to create some really cool underwater experiences. And I can't decide whether I like it better in the studios as, you know, a Finding Nemo piece, because now that we're getting a second Nemo movie, you know, there's makes sense to me that there's more attraction to it. Or if I like it better, again, as an Epcot coaster, maybe just kind of just past where Living Seas is, right, and just extend the Living Seas concept a little more.
That would work good, particularly because they've got to do something with the aquarium, because aren't they having issues, or there's issues with the wall structure in the aquarium, isn't there?
I don't know that anybody knows for sure. There's been, I mean, I know that they've had maintenance issues and all of that. I know that there was a period, I guess it's now about 2 years ago, where they closed big chunks of the aquarium for extended periods of time to do some cleaning, and they had some issues after that. I think part of the problem is that it's just a huge aquarium. It's bigger than any other aquarium anybody's ever built, in the United States at least, as far as I know. And nobody knows how long those tanks last. There is no comparator.
Yeah. I think Atlanta's bigger, but it came afterwards.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah, and so it's newer. So again, yeah. Nobody knows how long these things last. And there are more and more issues too with, you know, being able to keep marine mammals as long as they keep them and in the environments they keep them in. You know, maybe this is a way to be able to continue to tell some of those even real life, you know, marine mammal stories, but do it in a different kind of way of storytelling.
Yep. Absolutely.
All right. So we've all gone through twice. I think at this point, I'm going to let people volunteer because I don't want to put people on the spot for a third or more. So everybody's gone through twice. Who's got a third idea that they really like and want to, you know, jump forward with?
I've got one if other people are still thinking.
Go ahead.
So one of the rides that we saw on our last trip that I was really surprised by, and it was actually at Universal, and it's a kids ride, is they have in the Jurassic World, they have kind of a floating, kind of slowly descending coaster. So I don't know that it's even a really coaster, that it's really a coaster, but it's a neat ride to go up, and you kind of take it through a sort of lush jungle. What I was thinking is you could adapt technology like that to give you kind of a slow-moving, floating experience through that and use that to build an up coaster. And I was thinking you could put it either in Adventureland, or you could put it in Animal Kingdom, because they've got all the rest of the up stuff there, and kind of float through. And I think those rides are normally oriented like two seats, one in front of the other, kind of in tandem.
Right.
It's like, what if instead of that, you kind of balanced on the center bar and you had a recliner and a chair? So you had the two chairs that two just big kind of lounge chairs that you sat in as you kind of floated through the forest and you floated down through the trees, nice. starting up pretty high and then gradually moving down.
I like that. That's interesting.
Very cool.
Yeah, I'd check that out.
Sure, I would too.
All right, that's a good one. So a couple now, we've gotten a couple of more family coaster type concepts. Anybody else have another blue sky roller coaster idea?
Yeah, I'm gonna give you one that I think is as impractical as it can possibly be, but I love the idea.
Woohoo, go for it.
Well, okay, so kind of starts off when I watch the Winter Olympics and I see the bobsleds and that sort of thing. But what really interests me are the guys that do skeleton. You know, okay. Like, oh man, would that be cool? Okay, so let's adapt.
So we're back to laying down on the track.
Yes, laying down on the track. So in Epcot, what do we have opening soon? Frozen Ever After, right? So what if you had it doesn't make sense because you could really only do one person at a time, but it's basically a bobsled type track. But, you're laying down, you're in a secure cage of some sort so that if you flip over, you're not going to die. But, because death has its ramifications. But anyway.
The lawyers hate it.
But yeah, they do. They do. They just don't seem to like it. But, to have something that, you could basically take on a bobsled type, coaster track that, gives you the freedom of the motion, but, the speed and the individuality of the experience, to me, that's something I would totally do.
All right. So, taking the, Matterhorn bobsleds and kicking them up a notch and making them more like real bobsleds.
Right, but making it a single, more like you're laying down on a skateboard going down the sucker. Yeah. It's a very individual experience.
All right. So that one ends up being Blue Sky just because of capacity issues, if nothing else.
Exactly.
Let's see, there's 10 people in line, there's a two-hour wait.
You could probably get a solid 60 people through an hour.
Yeah.
Until somebody does flip over and wreck.
If you make it steep enough, they'll still go down.
That's true. They'll still get to the end and you can cycle it to the next person. So
hey, put wheels on both sides of the cage and yay.
Oh, there you go. See, thinking outside the box. That's what I like about Blue Sky.
That's right. It works.
All right. Any other Blue Sky concepts out there? Eric, you have another one for us?
Yeah, I was thinking about what you said before about places that don't have coasters currently.
Right.
And I was thinking about just another, revenue stream for Disney might be putting a coaster over in Disney Springs.
Interesting. So kind of like the carousel that's over in Disney Springs, right?
But out over the water. If we have to get rid of Disney Quest to do it, then, no big loss. I mean, you could
try to
you can recoup the money that has been coming in through that, whatever that may be.
That thing's got like 9 lives though, because every time they say it's done, it bounces back,
right?
Yeah. But what I'm thinking about is having maybe a Big Hero 6 theme. Nice. and have, because that I don't know, my kids like it a lot, and you could sort of divide up the cars and characters between like a couple of degrees of difficulty for the roller coaster. So you could have one that's kind of more thrilling, and maybe that's the Baymax cars and the Go-Go cars, and the one for the smaller kids so that they can have fun too on kind of the same coaster, but with a less frenetic experience. Have those themed to like Honey Lemon character, be able to split families off so that they could all be riding at more or less the same time. Obviously not right at the same time, but
okay. So trying to balance them so maybe the more intense version is a little bit longer because it moves faster, but you've got a less intensive version that is moving slower, so the track is a little shorter, but idea is that everybody can get on at the same time and then end together.
That would be ideal. Yeah, I'm not sure how that would actually work out in practice, but Disney is good at moving people around, so I trust that they can work it out. But it would be like I said, I'd say it would have to cost some money to ride it, but again, it could be just another add-on for, like they do now for things like Disney Quest or the water parks.
Let me ask you this. Did you locate it in Disney Springs just because you like the particular location, or because you wanted to envision it as this, you know, kind of part of the blue sky being the coaster as another revenue tool?
Well, I think that it doesn't have a thrill ride over there. It doesn't have the sort of iconic thing that draws people there. And there isn't a lot of Disney theming over there anymore. I think that having Disney keep some sort of icon there to really anchor the place. I mean, it's called Disney Springs, but there isn't a lot of, I mean, it's turning into more or less a mall, right? It doesn't have that big a quintessential Disney presence there. But having something that was specifically themed to a Disney property over there, I think would give it that sort of like Walt Disney would say, a weenie that people could fixate on over there, and maybe draw people in, get them over there, remind them that they're on a Disney property. And again, it would be accessible for hopefully the entire family.
Right, right. Yeah, by making it, you know, multi-leveled, so to speak.
Yeah, and it wouldn't cost as much as a theme park to, you know, go over there and do a ride. So sure. even folks who are just over there shopping for the day could, you know, pay a few bucks and get on the roller coaster and have a fun time as a family.
You know what? I mean, hey, if that takes some of those, you know, day guests that are causing all of the panic and stress about, you know, crowding it at the Magic Kingdom and, you know, how do we deal with this and causing them to look at tiered pricing and all of that. And, you know, maybe providing them with a simple alternative that makes it, you know, feel like they got a Disney day by spending a day hanging at Disney Springs is a way to do that.
Sure. And like I said, it gives, the way I'm envisioning it, it gives something for the whole family. So
yeah, right.
You have the kind of experience you want to have.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah, and they've got those aqua cars over there, right?
Yeah, at $120 for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
That'll be the same price as the coaster.
There you go. Yeah, so again, at that price, you get a day at the Magic Kingdom is the problem.
What about putting that in Japan, in Epcot? So that you go have Japan be San Francisco.
Ooh. Now we're getting into the
sort of the creep of the
frozen argument
of the fantasy into the reality. Yeah, I don't know. It makes me a little.
I see you're drawing out the traditionalist in Eric.
Yeah, I don't know. It's because it's San Francisco isn't in Japan, so it's. I mean the architecture would be similar from what we compared to what we saw in the movie, but I don't know. It makes me nervous.
Yeah.
Well, you know, not really similar lines, but looking back at World Showcase again, I think that's a great example of an area of a Disney park where a roller coaster really belongs. And I think there's a couple of different ways that you could do it in World Showcase that would be interesting and fun and different. I mean, you know, there's been talk about plans for a Mount Fuji roller coaster that never happened behind Japan. I know that there's been, you know, talk about other, you know, Germany was supposed to have a boat ride and all these things that didn't get built and have kind of been abandoned along the way. It seems to me that there are a couple of different ways you could go about this. I mean, you could do piece by piece these kinds of attractions, or you could say, we know realistically we're not going to build another, you know, 10 attractions. So what's a way that we could do kind of several of these at once? And maybe going back to, you know, if you're not going to build my coaster that takes you from north to south across the park, then at least you could take some of those same around the world in 80 days theming concepts and run a coaster that did sort of, you know, a loop above the World Showcase pavilions. you know, and you could play with some of the existing iconography of the park, you know, loop it around the Eiffel Tower above France, or, you know, run it past some of the, you know, the London, you know, the UK buildings, the shops and things, you know, the square there in the UK, and just use kind of that back of the park and put it up above again, what's already there. So you don't have to, you know, destroy World Showcase to do it, but you can add a thrill element to the back part of the park.
I think that would be very good.
And cool, it wouldn't concept. Even have to be that thrilling for it to be effective as a thrill attraction at the in World Showcase, just because there isn't anything else there.
Yeah. Well, and that works well because you don't have a huge amount of space in any of those areas. And so unless you're doing something that joins a bunch of different stuff, you have to have something that fits in a relatively small area.
Right. Yeah. I mean, that's why I figured you might as well sprawl between them and make that the storyline.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
All right. Anybody else holding out on us?
I've got my honorable mention.
Okay.
So just as I was going through Disney properties, the thing that I thought, where there is a coaster in the movie to an extent that hasn't ever been put in a park, is I would love a Kronk's coaster.
One of my fears.
Run through with Yzma or something. I think that would be a fun kind of some – I was like, you know what? But I wish that you could kind of – put it in somewhere in World Showcase, because it's something that you could do in a relatively small space, and it's designed to be inside and underground. And so it would be easy, but you don't have any South America. I was like, the closest you've got is Mexico, but that doesn't really work. So
yeah, Mexico doesn't quite work, and it's hard to do. I mean, you can't do actual underground. You'd have to have a show building.
But I was just saying, you can do confined space with lots of switchbacks and things like that.
Yeah. All right. Interesting. So Tim, did you have one that you said you had some stuff in your back pocket on us?
Oh, no, the skeleton one was the one I was really holding out.
Oh, okay.
I mean, like I said, that's probably not anything that would be wildly popular, but you know, for my own interest, it's something I would totally
all for it being not wildly popular, because then you can just go back in line and write again.
That's right, and think, you know, you're right there in Norway, you know, right after you've had a bunch of tequila in Mexico, and then you go write something like that and totally mess yourself up.
Oh yeah, well, it ranks right up there in planning with the bar they're talking about putting in Tower of Terror.
Yeah, which would be interesting.
Is that really something they're talking about?
Apparently, yeah, they've got. Apparently, it's the same, roughly the same kind of concept as La Cava. That there's an area that has been used for storage that isn't really necessary for storage these days. And, wouldn't take that much to convert it into a well themed small bar.
There's that, Of course, you could do a Club 33 type of roller coaster where you you walk up to the entrance and they tell you to go away.
Hey, but if you pay them $10,000 a year, then they'll let you go and bring a guest.
Or you can get in line so that you can eventually pay them. It's the Tesla of roller coasters.
I like it.
What about something, and I'm just kind of a twist on the roller coaster. What if they use some sort of system to replace the whole tram system to kind of get people in from the parking lots to the center faster and turn that into not just a sit on it thing, but an attraction? The thing that comes to mind are like the Futurama pneumatic tubes where you just stand in and shoot you, which –
The parking lot bullet train?
Yeah. The Hyperloop. Basically, the parking lot Hyperloop.
The Hogwarts really, really, really express.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yeah. Hey,
that's the dark side.
It's interesting because it seems that the trick with those kind of things, right, is that if it's coming in from a parking lot like that as transportation, high speed like that works as an express. And so either everybody in the parking lot has to go to the same place to board, or you have to figure out a way to allow people to board without slowing down.
Yeah. Just step in front of the Hyperloop.
Have people, you know, get into like a cage.
Right? Yeah.
And then the high-speed vehicle just comes by and scoops up the cages as it comes by.
When you started talking about getting people from one side of World Showcase to the other, I was so hoping you were going to say a giant catapult and a net.
I don't think Disney owns the Monty Python films just yet.
Yeah.
It's Blue Sky.
But you know, you're right. You look at Magic Kingdom used to have that, you know, that gondola ride that would take you from one side to another.
Well, exactly. Look, every theme park did. Worlds of Fun, the amusement park here in Kansas City, had one of those.
Everybody Six Flags Over Texas had one.
Yeah. Great America.
Everybody had them until guests started falling from the skies and dying.
Yeah. I hate it when that. Like I said, they have a problem with death.
They do. Well, and operationally, those things were a nightmare because they were constantly breaking down, and you know, then you have to rescue people from way up above the park, and then there are people underneath them that you have to think about, and just a headache for everybody.
Again, big nets.
It becomes part of the attraction. You hope to get stuck so that you can jump out.
Jump down.
I'm concerned about our liability here. Big nets. Big nets is always the answer.
Car gets stuck, easy. Just dump it over to the side. Everybody jumps.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you know, it sounds to me like you've heard about all you're going to hear from us about Blue Sky roller coasters.
At least good ideas.
Well, at least we weren't drinking and doing this.
Wait, we weren't supposed to drink?
I was going to say, speak for yourself.
Now you tell me.
You've heard from us. We really would love to hear from you. Maybe you'd actually have some good ideas. You can email us.
Whoa.
You can email us at podcast@dizdads.com. Visit our blog, dizdads.com. Tweet us at dizdadspodcast on Twitter and participate in discussions in our forums at boards.dizdads.com or on Facebook at facebook.com/dizdadspodcast. Until next time, if they let me live, I've been Aaron Ripmaster with Don Donfris.
Night, everybody.
Ryan Dreichler.
Good night, everybody. If Paul was on, he would have come up with the beer run in Germany.
Tim Hicks.
Good night, districts.
And Eric Anderson.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you very much, guys. That was fun.
That was good.
Thank you, Aaron. Thanks for roping me in last minute.
Oh, yes. No, thank you. Thank you for joining us. It was a lot of fun, and you had some good stuff, too.
Gave me an excuse to drink some more, so.
There you go. That's what I was
drinking. Drinking all around.
Scotch.